message is brought to you by the friends and partners of Elijah Amusan Ministry International. Be blessed as you listen.
Our will, our emotion, our decision-making pattern. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. Come on, please, let's celebrate our worship team. Come on, let's celebrate them. Thank you so much. We celebrate you. God bless you. Hallelujah. Please, give someone next to you a high five so you're welcome to church with a smile. Come on. Glory to God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's be seated. Say this after me. My mind is opened. Oh, he didn't say like you mean it. Say, my mind is opened. My heart is receptive. Today, I'll be taught the word of God. I boldly declare, I'm a doer. I'm a doer. Oh, say, I'm a doer. And I'm blessed indeed. Amen. Turn in your Bibles quickly to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Chapter number 3. There's a series we began last week. We're going to conclude today. We titled it Love, Courtship, and what? Sex. So next week, we're going to be talking about marriage 101. That means, 101 simply means, those of you that are in university, when it calls us a course title 101, it means introductory, right? So we're going to be doing marriage 101 next week. Then on the 23rd, we're going to be talking about successful parenting. Some of you are like, ah, Pastor, we never have a girl wife. We only talk about parenting. It's important. You have to learn it early in life. Glory to God. Potential parents in the house, shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah!
Praise the Lord. Amen. So we're going to be talking about love, courtship, and sex. Last week, how was last week's service? Come on, it was awesome. Awesome. You need to get the tape. The tape is free. You can get it. So, but today, we've spoken about love and courtship with so much emphasis last week. So today, we're going to be talking about sex. Somebody say sex.
Yes.
You see, yeah, I like the way you pronounced it. Important. You have to get used to it. Amen. Very important. Very important. Open to 2 Timothy quickly. 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse 16. I want us to read it together in unison as a church. 2 Timothy 3. If you don't have a Bible, I'm going to advise you, you just tag along with somebody beside you who has it. Just make sure your eyes is resting on those scriptures. Very important. And believe God with us, in no time our screen comes in Jesus' name.
Amen.
We'll call them forth. They are here already. Can I have a big amen to that?
Amen.
2 Timothy 3 and verse 16 says, 1, 2, 3, go! All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So it tells us that the word of God is profitable for instruction in righteousness. So the word of God is an instruction manual for right living. In other words, the word of God shows us what is right apart from what is wrong. I showed you a scripture last week in Psalm 119. When David said, I have accepted your precepts concerning things that be right, and I hate every false way. Psalm 119 verse 128. In other words, God's word shows us the right way, the right pattern, the ideal purpose, the ideal process, the real methodology to get things done. That's what God's word, one of its profitability is, it is an instruction manual for right living. So today, I'm going to be talking about sex. And you see, when it comes to Bible teaching, there are always two categories of people. There are those who, they are just on two extremes. So there are those who stay on the negative extremes. And there are those who stay on the extreme positive. And you know, but the wisdom is to stay in the middle. and follow through rightly. So when we talk about sex, for example, there are those who feel like, sex, going to close their ear. I understand, because they came from backgrounds where, even as we are seated right now already, it's already offensive to their theology. Because they came from a church where males sit this way, females sit this way. So I understand. But you don't have to be in that extreme. And there are some other people too, their extreme is sex. Ha! Glory! The Bible calls them itchy ear. In fact, if I say throughout this year we're talking about sex, they'll be so happy. Praise the Lord. Amen. And you know, as a pastor, by the grace of God, pastoring for over 10 years now, I started pastoring my year 3 in the university. One of the things I've realized is a lot of people on that negative extreme of, I want to close my ear. See, I mentor families. They end up having issues in their marriage. Simple things that, you know, they could have learned and embraced. So that's why I want to begin on this note. Before I even begin what I want to teach, I want to just give you a few thoughts about sexuality. You see, let me say this to you. Your sexuality is a blessing. I know we now live in a world where sexuality is portrayed, even on social media, you know, as something not to be happy or to be glad about. And you see, this is very important, because we live in a generation where it will be amazing to you what people do because of poor knowledge about how that sexuality is a blessing to you. Listen, your sex arousing parts notwithstanding, the size, the shape notwithstanding, it's a blessing. A lot of you may not really know how important this thing I'm saying is. And see, people who don't know this, who have not embraced this, are the ones who go about to get butt enhancement injection. Some buy bum enhancement pills. Ladies do it. Why? Because they see Kim Kardashian. They see the way it is. They want to be like that. So the social media has portrayed to them that this is the standard. No! Who told you? That's why you see guys who go and get, you know, John Thomas enlargement pills. Why? Because they see this guy who has six packs. Do you know some people even take steroids? And they go to gym. Why? Listen, if you are not careful, you will pick an identity from the world. And you start putting your life on that standard. But no! Listen, whether if your mammary gland is small, listen, you called it small because someone told you it is small. If your butt is little, you called it little because someone told you it's little. I believe that the size of any part of your body, including the sexual arousing part, they came up architecturally in a commensurate size to every other body part. So the moment you feel a particular part of the body is too big or is too small, then that means you want to distort the architectural design. You know, I don't know what I'm talking about. So it's a blessing. Say after me, say my sexuality is a blessing. You have to believe this. James 1:17. All good and perfect gifts, they come from the Father of lights. Praise the Lord. And guess what? In Genesis 1 and verse 33, the Bible says, God said, it is good. Everything He created is what? That includes your sexual arousing part. And for your information, when God created Adam, after He made Eve, the first time Adam saw Eve, Adam didn't say, Eve, cover that thing, cover. No. No, we read of his appraisal. When Adam saw, you know, King James didn't put do justice to that. Let me read to you from the ISV. Genesis 2:23, ISV, International Standard Version. He says, so the man exclaimed, did you go to school? Did you study English? He exclaimed, "At last! This is bone from my bones." In other words, when Adam saw Eve, he said, "Oh boy, my, this is the bone of my bone." Listen, praise the Lord, hallelujah. So there is really nothing wrong with your sexuality. Your judgment about it is a product of the information you've been fed with over the years. So, irrespective of the shape, size, whatever it is, do not let pressure from peers make you do. You see, anytime I speak to you, I often tell you, I talk to you like global being. Because I know many of you, you're going to be in a society where, you know, we live in Nigeria where we are cultured. And that's why some of the things I'll be teaching maybe later in this year about essential worldview. Because I've counseled with people who are in the other world, other part of the world, Western world, who are exposed to so many things. LGBT is not much a big deal in Nigeria because we are cultured people. Wait until you travel out of this country and your very roommate in the conference you are attending in the US is telling you she's a lesbian and she's bold about it. That's when your faith is attacked. We're going to be doing some teachings on that later in the year. These are essential things you need to know. Very important. Do not allow peer pressure determine the things you do. Praise the Lord. So you have to be thankful. Father, I thank you because I am wonderfully and beautifully and fearfully made. Very important. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say after me, my sexuality is a blessing. However, you have to realize that your body's sex arousing part, as the case may be, it could be the mammary gland, for the guys, your gentlemen's, as the case may be. Listen, you have to be thankful for it. But you must also know that you are the one to be in charge of it. Not the other way around. In Job 10 verse 11, the Bible says, your body is your cloth. He says, you have clothed me with skin and sinews. In other words, your body parts, you are to be in charge of it. It shouldn't be the other way around. That means, you know, as a guy, for example, I mean, when I feel horny, I give thanks. I mean, and this is very important. If you are a guy here, 4-5 days, 1 week, you woke up, every time you woke up in the morning for 1 week, your distance did not stand, you need to see a doctor. Very important. But you see, but when you wake up in the morning and you say the thing is up, you are not married. But because your own principle that guides sex is from God's word. And it tells us in Hebrews 13 and verse 5, he says, marriage is honorable and bed undefiled, but warmongers and adulterers God will judge. So that becomes your principle. So you know, I might feel horny, but I am not indebted to respond to that feeling. So I give thanks. I did that 2 days ago. Woke up in the morning, the thing was up. I said, Father, I thank you. You know, glory to God. And I just pray in tongues. Libro Sondra Haliki Shtefto. Walk into the bedroom, take a shower, you know, and get to the study. Pick up one of my books and study. Very important. Not that you don't start calling your girlfriend, babe, you know, come visit me. No. No. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. That's exactly what the book of Romans. Open to Romans 8 quickly. Romans 8. Romans 8 and verse 13. It says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. In other words, you are not indebted to carry out every feeling. In verse 14 now says, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify. Somebody say mortify. Do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. In other words, you have to mortify. The word mortify is where they get the English word mortician. Mortician are people who, they get the morticians are people who work at, you know, what do you call this place they take dead bodies to? Mortuary. So the mortician, his work is when they bring a dead body. The mortician will ensure that the dead body is dead. Very, very dead. He will now add some chemicals to make it deader than dead. That's work of a mortician. So he's saying, mortify the things of the body. So there's something is out this way. You say, Father, I thank you. You say, no, baby, there ain't no time now. You know, it's not now. Glory to God. You rejoice. You deaden it. Every desire that is contrary to God's word, you deaden it. You mortify it. You kill it. Praise the Lord. So in our generation, while we're talking about this thing, it's very important. In our generation, the matter of sex has become an elephant in the room. And you see, one of my major concerns is that as much as this issue is an elephant in the room, people who have decided to deceive themselves try to ignore it as though it doesn't matter. Ah, don't talk about sex. Ah, what kind of church is that? Listen, it's an elephant in the room. And we can't close our eyes. It's an elephant in the room. We have to talk about it. I'm going to read a statistic to you very quickly right now, just to prove to you that this thing we are discussing is an elephant in the room. It's something you can't ignore. How can you ignore something that is so big as an elephant in the room when people next room are already sleepless because of the elephant's grunts? And now you are saying it doesn't exist. You see, deceiving yourself. I want to read some statistics to you. There's a blog, an American blog. It's also, you know, an opinion website called HuffPost. It says, and some other ones like that too. You know, HuffPost was, you know, discovered by somebody. I think I wrote his name here, Andrew Breitbart, and some other co-founders. And they brought out some statistics. And I'm going to read some of them to you and some other website too. Number one, concerning pornography, for instance. Look, listen to this. So, to tell you, this thing is an elephant in the room. Porn sites, according to HuffPost, says porn sites receive more regular traffic than Netflix, Amazon, and Twitter combined. Do you know what that means? How many of you know Netflix? How many of you know Amazon? The owner of Amazon is the richest man, so you know. Jeff Bezos. Amazon, Netflix, and Twitter. The traffic on those three social media platforms combined together, their traffic is not as much as how people visit porn sites. So you see, and it will be deceptive to assume that the statistics does not include church people. It's a lie. We have to talk about this thing. Look at this one. It says 35% of all, somebody say all, 35% of all internet downloads are porn related, according to WebRoots. All internet downloads, 35% are porn. That means every 10 in that download all over the world, 4 is porn. Now, number this particular one I want to give you now, according to WebRoots, levels everybody. And I will tell you how. He says 34% of internet users. How many of you are internet users? Every one of us. 34% of internet users have been exposed to unwanted porn via advertisements, pop-ups, etc. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I've been exposed to it. There's nothing to shy about. That's why I have to set my Google. I went to the setting and I put it on filter. I mean, if you are online, for example, where I work in Abuja, I have free internet access in my office. When I even to receive a call, something before the call comes through, I'll just see a pop-up. I'm like, what was this? That means every 4 persons out of 10 people who use this internet, they are exposed to unwanted porns. Unwanted. They didn't want it. See, you can see it's an elephant in the room, such that you are not the one even now seeking it. Porn is looking for you.
So if you try to close your ear on this teaching, you are doing yourself a lot of harm. This is an elephant in the room, and we have to talk about it. We've got to. And this point I want to give you now, according to 2004 study in Social Science Quarterly, this one should make you cry. Look at it. It says, people who admit to having extramarital affairs were over 300% more likely to admit consuming porn. In other words, 300% of people who ended up having extramarital affair when they get married, they admit to having consumed porn. So porn has also contributed to the marital disarray that we have in the world today. And I can give you several examples on several issues that I've personally been have to dealt with. Where the guy has a PhD in sexology, but the girl is a gentle girl, just married her, she does not even have NCE. So he wants her to be spinning the way he sees on the blue film, and that has been the problem. See, it's a matter we have to discuss about. Very important. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hear this particular one again. According to NBC, I don't know if you know NBC. You know NBC, let me see your hands up. National Broadcasting Company, American. NBC News. Listen to this one. I'm sure some of you will shout now. It says, porn is a global estimated $97 billion industry. $97 billion industry. People spend their data. People buy it online. People subscribe to it. Listen, in 2016, I'm sure it's even more by now. In 2016, according to PH Analytics, more than 4.6 billion hours of porn were consumed on the world's largest porn sites. 4.6 billion hour. 1 hour, 2 hour, 3 hour, 4 hour, up to 4.6 billion hour. So you see, this thing is an elephant in the room. It's killing our generation, and we have to talk about it. We've got to. Do you know, I was counseling with a woman and she was crying. She was telling me, I don't know, he's not happy with me. Why? He said the thing is now wider. I'm like, are you not the one that widened it? No, the problem, this is serious. See, the problem is, this guy has been feeding on pornography, and so he has come to assume, educate his intellect, that there's a way he has to feel whenever he trusts is this thing into a woman. So somehow it has affected how he begins to consider his woman. Do you know there are some men today who anytime they see a woman, they see bread to eat? And let me say this, that's the kind of a woman should run away from. A man who places your humanity on sexuality. That's the kind of man you should run away from. Now, this one I want to say to you, if you don't cry, or this particular statistics, if you don't cry, or you don't feel bad in your heart, you are not born again. Are you ready to hear it? Look at it. Look at this one. 64%. Listen. 64% of young people between the ages of 13 to 24 actively seek out pornography every week. That means, statistics student, that means like 7 out of 10 every week between 13 and 24. 7 out of those age range in every 10 are seeking. Not that the porn happened though. They are seeking actively every week. Last Sunday here, you realize when I gave a word of knowledge that there are people here, you are addicted to pornography. 4 people raised up their hand. 4. And I love that honesty. I have to pray with them. I'm not going in church last Sunday. I have to pray with them. They were very honest. And the one that saddens me is this particular statistics. It says 20% of all porn downloads are children porn. That means even children. 20% out of every 10 porn that is downloaded, 2 out of every 10 are children porn, underage. So you go to a church where they say they just do like this, Jesus plus Jesus minus Satan, women sitting like this, you are deceiving yourself. And do you know what? If you don't get educated from God's word about this thing, people will learn it from outside the world. Ask America today. The moment you get to the point where you start subjecting everything about your life under intellectualism, you are on your way to atheism. So now, somebody is there in the US now carrying placard up and down that we are pedophiles. We are made that way and we need our own liberty. What brought that? Debased minds. Romans 1 from verse 16 down to from verse 18 down to 21. Debased mind. I mean, like the case, we don't talk about this one some other time, like the case of LGBT. I mean, something has to be wrong with you. Look at me like this. The way I am like this. Look at me. How can you be a man and I'll be attracted to you? You have to be sick. I mean, just look at me. What can you, what? Me like this. See now. And then you are attracted to me. If I have a gun, I'll shoot you. But they are there craving for their own freedom. They have sight. They have community. You can see how the world is deteriorating. So we have to talk about this thing. Very important. It's an elephant in the room. Let me read about infidelity. Statistics shows that 1/3 of marriages have cases of infidelity, either of one or both partners. That means out of every 3 marriages you know, one person is cheating. You don't get statistics. 1/3, that means every 3 marriages you know, there is one case of infidelity among those 3. Hey, that's serious. And it's the statistics went to tell us that 22% of men and 14% of women admit to cheating on their spouses. That means men cheat more than women, according to statistics. This is serious. And do you know where it gets bad? All you need to do is just one innocent click and it will change you forever. So that is why it calls for an urgency in the church. Just one innocent click and you may never recover again. Just one innocent click. All it requires for you to be addicted is just one innocent click. And there's a lot of exposure out there in the world that you see, if you don't personally stand your ground, you'll just be amazed. It's just like the story of a man, and this has happened to me before, who wants to swim at the brink of the beach, that sandy part. So it has happened to me before. I was at the beach, just at the shoreline. I was just trying to enjoy the beach water, you know. And then what happens? The water will come. You enjoyed it. So the thing will go back again. So where you were before that was watery now becomes dry. So you will think you are still at the shoreline. So you want to go front again. Then the water comes again. Woo! You enjoy the beach. And then, you know, you enjoy. Before you know, the water goes back again. Huh? So where you are is dry again. So you want to go further. Until you find yourself almost in the middle of the sea where you can't help yourself. This is the deception that covers the face of sexuality in our generation. I mean, ever wondered why? Simple toothbrush, chewing gum, soap, simple things like this. Even screwdriver, to advertise screwdriver on DSTV, they will use an half-naked woman. Excuse me, what does screwdriver have to do with breast? I kid you not. The female sexuality has been so abused than any other thing today in the world. And that's why there was a time I put a post on Facebook. Sophia, not my friends on Facebook. I copied from a particular big brother, you know. and I think I had over 30 something, almost 40 shares. The person was doing analysis about the recent Malian song that people are singing. Come and see debasement. He's calling women, he's calling their sexual parts soak away. Original Tramadol. Olele, everybody. Everybody's a thief. And they have styles. They don't use belts. Animalia. Oh, yeah, she got a danja. Hey. And a lot of people don't even know what is the lyrical content of that song. So look at the content. The best songs. And that's what is filled with many of our phones. Many people here today, I pray for you. By the end of this program, you're going to delete some videos, some songs on your phone. Amen. 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 Can I have a big amen to that? Amen. So, how many of you now see that this topic is an elephant in the room? How many of you now, if you believe with me, let me see your hands up. We have to talk about it. We have to. So now the question is, now we have explained, we have given fact to all the woes about this issue. So what are we going to do? How do I, right now, how do I educate my daughter when I give birth to them? How am I going to educate them about sexuality? How? Do you know in the US, Donald Trump had to stand against them teaching? Do you know, I have a friend who works at the embassy, and he was telling that one of the classes that they insisted that if you are working with, because if you are working in the US embassy, you are taken as though you are a US citizen. Everything about US embassy is US, you understand? They were insisting that the staff have to take some courses. And in those courses, one of them teaches them that you can't claim to be a male or a female. This thing is a big matter. It's a big matter. We have to talk about it. So question is, what do I do? What do I do? How am I going to cope in this 21st century? I gave an example last week about how when I was serving in Sokoto as a youth copper, I went to visit with this lady, nice lady, wonderful lady. Brown skin girl, slim. I went to visit her just to say hello to her. I sat down and she was just going to entertain me. Do you know what she was going to do? She put on a movie. What was the movie that she started in? Game of Thrones. Just the thriller. I wore my shoe and ran away. Do you know why? I can't stand it. And some people have a very strong threshold, a very high threshold for sexual content. I can't undo it. I had to run away. And he affected me for 3 weeks. Anytime I want to pray, I will say that sin. I have to wash myself. It's a serious matter. So what are we going to do? So I'm going to discuss this thing on just. So if I feel horny, I know that just because I felt horny does not authenticate that I have to experience that sex thing. That I have to go and look for a lady to have sex with. So I have to re-educate. I have to let my feeling not dictate to me what is good for me. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So, this is the irony. Very irony. And guess what? This is the paradox. This is the paradox of it. The paradox is the very thing you felt not too good turns out to be the good thing for you. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. Come on, talk to me. Do you get what I'm saying? So, that is to buttress the fact that our feelings are not perfect judges to tell us what is good for us or not. So, you know, my best author, E.W. Kenyon, by the grace of God, I've read all his books. One of his books that I will never forget, the title of the book is, he says, Roadmap on the Way to Success. In verse, I think, page 22 of that same book, he makes a statement. He says, a man who can take control of his appetite, his tongues, he says, even if he is a mediocre
is bound to succeed in life. Did you hear that? He says, even if you have a mediocre ability, if you can control your appetite, your tongue, he says, you are bound to excel in life. This is amazing. He mentions appetite. And what is appetite? Desire for food, desire for something. And this is where it now gets so serious. Intrinsic, all right, inbuilt in every man is a desire for something. And let me tell you what you need to know. The Bible says God has set eternity in the heart of men. There is always a desire in every man. And guess what? Nothing can fill it. Nothing. And this is the bedrock. This is the real root to addictions. Most people don't know. And that's why addiction, are you listening to me? That's why addiction, the problem of addiction is not really the addiction. The object of addiction is not the problem. This is the real problem. That's why I'm helping you to get it from the roots. Somebody say, I'm addicted to smoking, so I want to stop. I want to stop seeing cigarettes. The problem is not the cigarettes. And that's why what can be an addiction for one person may be a walk away for another person. For example, now, I went to a paramilitary school. Some of my friends are in the army, you know, and so on and so forth. Now, I had the opportunity of being a smoker because all my friends, including myself, someone who's like a grandfather to us, you know, is a retired colonel. So we have a lot of barrack boys when I was in school that were both mates. They smuggle hemp to school, boarding school. Some, when we go out of school, fly fence, they will take bottles. But guess what? I was never tempted to smoke or to drink. Do you know why? Even though I always had it around me with boys who take it. Do you know why? It was not a temptation to me. It was not sweet. Because I put the beer, I feel, So, but do you know that that is some people's nightmare? Yes, so, the object of addiction is not the problem. What is the problem? I'll tell you. And guess what? This is the greatest evil of the 21st century. What is the evil? For us to turn onto ephemeral things, to feel an inward desire. Let me tell you what is bankruptcy of the spirit. Bankruptcy of the spirit is when you try to fill a spiritual need with material things, you will never be satisfied. Like the case of the woman in the book of John chapter 4. This woman has had 5 husbands. To her, she felt husband 1 did not satisfy me. Husband 2 did not satisfy me. Up to husband 5. Jesus met her and said, listen, I have a water that if you take, you will not thirst again. In other words, Jesus dealt with the issue from the root. Jesus knew her issue was not changing of husband. Her issue was there was a thirst in her. And Jesus knew that him alone could feel it. Listen to me. The bedroot of all addiction is always a yearning for a desire. And the moment you keep turning to ephemeral things like sex, pornography, you will never get out of it. Listen. That's why every time you're always tempted that, okay, I'll sit for the last time now. It's a lie. The addiction will grow deeper. So the only one who can feel that desire is Christ. So you have to turn on to him. That's what Jeremiah 2:13 from verse 13 says. It says, my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and they have gone to him for themselves. Rivers, waters that cannot hold waters. I mean, cisterns that can't hold waters. In other words, every other thing you look onto to fill your desire will never be satisfied. Only Christ can fill it. This is the gospel. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So open Jeremiah 2. Let me read that to you quickly. Jeremiah 2 and verse 13. Now you can see that this topic is very important, so much that if you have not gotten to the place where you have defined what is good, that's why God's word remains the perfect material to define to you what is good. Otherwise, you'll be trapped in the closet. Jeremiah 2 and verse 13. He says, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and they have hewed out for themselves broken systems. He calls it broken systems. that can hold no water. Now, you know, I've told you in Bible interpretation, this is a metaphor, you know, it gives water there. The metaphoric expression there has to do with satisfaction. They are forsaking me the fountain of living water. So thirst there is the issue. So thirst there is a metaphoric expression to connote satisfaction. So he's saying you can't get satisfaction from those things. He says they are broken systems. E.W. Kenyon, my greatest author, he says, the restlessness that fills dancing halls, motels, he says that restlessness, unknown to the restlessers, is a heart yearn for love. Love that no man can feel but God. Very true. And do you know why this thing is so important? Because you're on Facebook, you just see, boom, something pops up. And then you want to look at it. You say, I'll just look at it. Some even deceive themselves. Ah, what is this thing now? You are seeing the movie with your girlfriend, and they just show the sex. Ah, they should not put this thing now. Eh? Why are they doing this thing? Yeah. Ah. And you are still watching it. Before I left home, my younger ones knew. When I came back, anytime I come back from school, sir, I go into the day again. TBN. TBN. TBN all the time. TBN. When I look at them, I say, no, me buying sorrow. That, oh, sorry, some of you don't understand Yoruba. Like, they are just murmuring, they are ranting. He has come again. Every time it's TBN. Say, we will not watch something else, eh? They know me. Once I come, TBN. God TV. If I see Keeping Up with Kardashian, if I catch you, praise the Lord. So, you have to understand that your feeling is not a perfect judge of what is good to you. Good idea, or yes?
Yes, sir.
Good. Amen. I said amen.
Amen.
You see, I think the Spirit of God is making me to dwell more on this. Do you know why many times, if you don't understand this thing I just share with you, you will keep struggling to stop something. You just keep entering what we call crazy cycle. And you may never get out of it. That's why there are so many people who have given up on certain addictions in life. Because they are trying to solve the problem from the surface. Let me give you an instance. If you see a prostitute outside, because by the grace of God, I'll be able to cancel people who have left prostitution. When you see a prostitute outside, to you, you feel like, Kai, ladies of nowadays, they are not even ashamed of prostitution. But do you know that by the time you cancel with her, as a pastor, that's why you never see a true pastor who will judge people. But like the woman in John 4 now, you will see her as serial husband changer, right? But Jesus found out her problem was not husband. Her problem was there was a yearning, a thirst in her. And Jesus now uses a metaphor to express it. He says, look, you've come to draw water, but this water will finish. But I will give you one that you will not thirst anymore. He was talking about himself. The same thing applies to prostitution. You see a lady who is into prostitution or is doing sugar daddy, you are going to quick to judge such lady. But when you find out, you realize that the problem isn't wasn't prostitution in the first place. Let me give you an instance. Imagine a lady, you know, it could even happen to you if you're not careful. You just came to school. Some days you don't have lecture. So you have this neighbor of yours who is nice. She's into sugar daddy stuff. So on the day you are free, it happened to be that she's free that time. So you go stay with her just while in the wait time. God, I mean, as the case may be, maybe you don't even have a TV in your room, but she has a TV. Wow. You just be enjoying. You might even put a popcorn. You'll be eating popcorn together. Enjoy yourself. You're just enjoying her company. What was the problem? You were not having lecture and you never wanted to be alone in the room. What is the problem there? Talk to me. Unfortunately, this particular friend of yours as a sugar daddy. So the sugar daddy comes one time, left. One of those days, he now came with a friend of his. Now, since the sugar daddy has come, chatting with the girl, just not to leave you alone, the other friend that he came with to start chatting with you, from WhatsApp chat to WhatsApp chat, exchange of numbers, in 6 months' time,
you have become that friend's sex object. Can you see how it happens? And to now worsen the case, he might be the one who deflower you. And ladies are very emotional about when it comes to sex. For the guy, you know, a guy is always transactional. I give you money, I have sex with you. She can have nothing. But the lady, she feels that you are taking something precious to her. So she's emotional. So what happens? She glues to that sugar daddy. And so you now see her, you see, ha, you follow sugar daddy now. Wow. And papa and pastor. So the problem is not the sugar daddy thing. What was the problem? Let's go back to the root. What was the problem? So if you don't solve the problem of loneliness now, you are already on your way to addiction. How many of you get what I'm saying? So that loneliness, will it always, can you remove loneliness? Never. It will always be there. But who can feel that loneliness? That empty heart of desire, who can feel it? God alone, Christ alone. That's why it's important you have to belong to a local assembly, a church. You don't have, that's why you can't be sentimental about choice of church. Is my family church. You have to belong to a church where they will teach you how to fellowship with God's spirit, how to fellowship with God's word, a church where they've designed a program that will help your spiritual growth so that all your spiritual needs are met. Otherwise, you will turn to ephemeral things to meet those spiritual needs and they will never match. Very important. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So, the object of addiction is not really the problem, but the quest to quench thirst inside. So, what do I do? I have to tell myself, my feeling is not a good judge of what is good for me. This is very clear. Very clear. Let me ask you, how many of you here, the first day you wanted to go to school, you cried? Let me see your hands up. You cried. I don't know if you can remember the first day you went to school. The very first day you went. Let me see your hands up. Be bold about it. Leave your hand up very well. The day you first took you to school, you cried. Let me see your hands up. All right. Praise the Lord. See, me, I actually escaped back home. I can never forget police children's school. My dad took me there that time. See, my hand was, you know. They put me, I cried. The woman, they say, this is my school now. From today, will not be coming again. And then my dad asked this 504. Okay, no, he has not bought his 504 then. But the point is, you know, the school was covered with, the fence is barbed wire. You know barbed wire? You know what we call barbed wire nowadays? Barbed wire. That's the way we call it. So, at the bottom of the wire, the netted wire, you understand? Some part has been uprooted. I opened it, followed it, and ran back home. And guess what? At that time, I felt like they hated me. How can they take me to people that I don't know? But guess what? See, now I'm speaking Queen's English. I'm very happy they sent me to school. So, at that time, my feeling lied to me that what they were doing to me was wrong. But now I've grown up, I now appreciate them. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes, sir. This is just to prove to you that your feeling is not a good judge of what is good for you. So you might be feeling to see that another sexual content, another pornographic movie, you think you're satisfying that feeling. For sometimes you might even be deceived to assume that this is the last time I will see it. This is the last time. It's a lie. When you see it, the desire to see it will grow more. Addictions are not cured by feeding the object of addiction. Rather, that addiction will grow deeper. So, having done that, which is the number one thing I say we have to do, number one thing is we have to take our feeling and dethrone our feeling from telling us what is good and what is bad. Then the next point you have to do is this. Look at me, church. And this is one of the things that our generation usually kicks against. Accountability. You have to be accountable. A friend of mine, I don't want to mention his name, I'm sure he will listen to this tape. A friend of mine recently just called me, just last month in January, this February, last month, he called me and said, Pastor, he's my friend, he was my classmate. said, he wants to tell me something. I said, what is it? He said, I'm addicted to pornography. I said, it's okay. I have to counsel with him, give him my materials to read. I have to pray with him. Some people are too proud to be accountable. Be accountable. Do you know that some of you are going through some addictions? Your surest solution, you are so proud that will solve the problem. What is the problem? What is the thing? The moment you tell somebody about it, that's the beginning of your freedom. Praise the Lord. And that's why you have to know the kind of friends you keep. You can't choose friends frivolously. I'll give you a personal example, because you know the reason why most people are not accountable is because churches nowadays, we have amplified a word of miseducation, we have amplified a word of pretense. So you see a preacher will say, this is my wife, we've been married for 30 years, we have never argued before. So somebody who is in the church, who is already having an heated argument with his wife, is already feeling condemned. So he is not even having that boldness to walk up to that same pastor. Hallelujah. Like in my case, when I was serving, I was a house manager of Copper's house. There's this girl. This girl, she's so bold about it that everybody calls me prophet inside the family house. I do the morning devotion and all that. But this girl is so bold that she doesn't care who is there. She will want to kiss me, you know, peck. Nah, stop this thing. It was getting serious. I have to call my friend, who is a papa of another NCCF in another state, Ondo State. He had to gather his escorts to pray in Ondo State for me. I was serving in Sokoto. In 3 days, she packed her load and left. Nobody told her. That's the power of prayer. So what I'm sharing with you cut across all board, and it involves all of us. Be accountable. Tell the person, you say, be accountable. Galatians 6, everybody. Please, can I get water? Galatians 6. If you are there, shout hallelujah. Galatians 6 and verse 1. He says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual should do what? Should expose the guy? What do you do? How do you restore? Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, constricting thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Can we all read verse 2 together in unison? 3, 2, go. Very important. He calls it the law of Christ. One will bear each other's burden. And the burden here in context tells us what is it. It says, if a brother be overtaken in a fault, your friend should come and meet you and say, you know what just happened to me? Ah, oh boy, I just had sex. So. What? It's okay. Then you hold hands and pray together. Then you will help your friend. That's the kind of friends you should have. I want to tell you a story. True story. These four friends, they all got married. They've been friends from university. They all got married. So one of them, one night, true story, him and his wife had this heated argument. So, you know the way ladies can, in quote, ladies can provoke you sometimes, you know. I hate you. Why did you marry me? I look at you. And the guy was, and as he was talking, the guy was getting angry. He was so angry, and that he just, he almost smacked her. He didn't touch her, but you know, almost just held himself back and went back into his room. So the lady, you know this Ajabo lady now. She was still in shock with the way the guy. So she was in shock. That shock, she took that shock to her room. So she now called her friends that she's still scared that as he went into the room, who knows what he might go out and bring. She called her friend, the guy's friends that she knows. That night around 11, they called them friends, themselves. They drove down to their compound. The gate man knows them. They drove down to their compound. Guess what they did? They came into the house, opened the door, the guy was already in the room. They took him out and beat him. You need such friends. What? They beat him. Guy, what are you doing? When they finished beating him, they now sat him down. They brought yogurt. They gave him yogurt. What did I do? What happened? When they finished beating him, now say, how dare you? He was crying. They held hands, praying in tongues together. He went to take the shower. They brought the lady back. The lady was still in shock. You know, when you marry that kind of babe, you know, he was still in shock. Say, he's sorry. He has never done that before. You know, and that was how they ended it. You need such friends. Now, for some of you, that looks like that's like Bollywood, but true story. True story. See, let me tell you, the first time I pray in tongues for 6 hours stretch, it was my friend and I. We went to Sports Center, Obafemi Law University. They will remove, if you are tired, like, labor show, you want to sit down, they will remove the chair. No, you can't sit down. The first time I prayed 12 hours stretch too, the same thing. They only put water there. So if Libro Condra has this skin from man coach day, and you're using style to go to where water is, somebody will just come, Libro Shalafra will shield you from the water. You need such friends. So now I'm alone now. I can pray in tongues for as long as I want to, but it was some friends who made it possible. Praise the Lord. Be accountable. Tell the person, say, be accountable. Hallelujah. Be accountable. And one of the things accountability does for you is, you know, it puts you in a check. That's what it does. It puts you in a check. Hallelujah. Number three. I wrote here, I say, see every pressure to addiction as an opportunity to grow. Let me tell you something very important. Do you know that addiction in itself, all right, temptation rather, as in itself, simply means desire in a wrong direction? Let me explain. That's why temptation differs with people. Because what is tempting you was supposed to be a stepping stone for you to actually grow. But because you have an inward faulty perception already, that's why that means a temptation to you. Let me give you an instance. You can't tempt me with beer or smoke. But another guy, that's his nightmare. Now, the problem is the object of addiction the problem? No. The temptation is actually a faulty inward desire that he already has. Are you feeling what I'm saying? And Apostle James explains that to us. He says, let any man, let no man say, I am tempted of God. He says, no. You are tempted because there's already a desire, a lust inside towards it already. So when I see a guy who comes to me and say, Pastor, I don't know why. The way ladies are dressing nowadays, they tempt people. They make people tempt. They tempt me. You know, when I see lady, you know, she's wearing. I say, okay. If you are complaining about how ladies dress, how about a mad woman who is naked on the road? Are there no mad? How many of you have seen a naked woman on the road that is mad? That is talking to herself like this. She's naked. Oh. Why didn't you? Why didn't she tempt you? It's not true. It is a temptation to you because you already have a faulty inward problem, a desire that is directed in the wrong direction. That's the key. That's the problem. You know, I used to tell you, for me, no matter how a lady dress, if you like, there was one, you know, late last year, you know, I was taking keke nap here, and then I say, what? Look, close this thing, close it. Can I be in here? Oh, Saraba Shokra da Haya. Come with me. But to some people, oh boy, see the babe, she did give me signal. So, was the lady's nudeness the problem? Talk to me, was it the problem? What was the problem? He already has a faulty inward perspective. That's what James says. Open to James 2, let me show you. That's why James 1, that's why James uses temptation and trial in the same breath, because they are one and the same. Trial that was meant to make your faith strong, to some people, is temptation. James 1. Hey, this is very simple now. Let me ask you, can somebody tempt you with fresh grass? If I carry fresh grass, cut grass, and I put it in there, can he tempt you? But if you keep grass beside a goat, you have tempted that goat, right? Why? Because there's already an inward desire for that grass. Do you get what I'm saying? Look at it. James 1. Oh. And church, do you know one thing? Do you know what? What is the point I said to you? I said, consider every what? Pressure. As a what? As an opportunity to grow. Let me tell you. Do you know the funniest thing? The good thing, rather. When you overcome it, there's actually a reward for you in heaven for it. I will show you. Look at James 1. He says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you are involved in various trials, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Can you see? So he calls it trial. Verse 4 now says, but you must let endurance have its full effect, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. Then verse 5 tells you, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally, you know, and, you know, without finding fault. Now, look at verse 12. Look at verse 12. It says, how blessed is the man who does what? Endures temptation. When he has passed the test, he will receive victor's crown of life that God has promised to those who keep on loving him. Then in verse 13, he now explains. He says, when someone is tempted, he should not say, I am being tempted by God. Why? He says, because God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. Verse 14. Instead, each one is tempted by his own desire, being lured and trapped by it. He now says, when that desire becomes pregnant, it gives birth to sin. And when sin grows up, it gives birth to death. So what is temptation? Temptations are faulty personal disposition towards neutral circumstances. So those circumstances were neutral. A lady wearing see-through, that's a neutral situation, I bet you. It became an issue to you because you already have a lust for a lady in the first place. Did you hear what I said? So don't blame it on the system. Don't blame it on the world. We know the world is declining so fast. But you have to fix the issue inside. Hallelujah. Do you know why this is important? Because, you know, some people are still living holily and sanctimonious because you have to differentiate the difference between depravation and discipline. A lot of people think they are disciplined, all right, until they get to university. When they are no longer under their parents. Ever wondered why most ladies, they get deflowered in their year one or year two when they come to university? What happened? Even if she was 25 before she came to school, she will remain like that. Why? When she was under her parents, she was depraved. So a lot of people think it's just deprivation that is making them still, you know, still remain in court now, chaste. So what does that tell you? What I'm saying, essence, is this. This is very important. So that when you get to an environment that is totally different from where you came from, you know how to position yourself. Are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
Especially on the level students, if you are here, don't let any man lie to you, deceive you with kakaki. Praise the Lord. Amen. Number four, I'm giving you approaches on how to deal with this thing in our 21st century. Number four, right? What is number one? You have to redefine what we call happiness. Do not let your feeling dictate to you what is good or bad. Then number two, I said what? Be accountable. Be accountable. Number three, I said what? It's an opportunity to grow. It's an opportunity to grow. Number four. This one is very important. Know your triggers and avoid them. See, do personal self-examination. Know your... I just told you mine. Sexual... I had issue with it for many years, but now I've grown over it. Amen. Know your triggers and avoid them. You know every time you visited that guy, you always have sex. Why are you still going there? That's not the time to start confessing. I am the righteousness of God. The God is my help of my life. The Lord is with me. The Lord is my salvation. Simple instruction. Apostle Paul says, flee. Bible didn't say, confess the word. Say, you know, believe, pray. You are strong. Mm-mm. Flee. Somebody say, flee. In other words, burn the bridge. Yeah, he was my sugar daddy before, but now I'm born again. I'm no longer doing that thing. And it's not by sitting on your phone. No! Delete it. Block him. This is how God saves us from temptation. This is how God does it. He busts. See, when God was going to save Lot, how did he do it? He told Lot, Lot, be strong, eh? Keep confessing God is with you. No. He took Lot out from Sodom. He told him to leave, not to even look back. These are teachings in symbolism. When his wife looked back, what did she turn to? There's a teaching there. The teaching there is, don't look back. That means burn your bridges. Burn it. So God takes him out and destroys Sodom behind him. That's how God does it. When God was going to take children of Israel from slavery to their promised land, the Bible says God decided not to take them through the shortcut. He says because when they see war, they will go back to Egypt. So the journey that should take them just 11 days. Deuteronomy 1 says that journey from where they were, Kadesh Barnea, to their promised land is 11 days. They took 40 years. God took them through the Red Sea so that even if they see war, they won't want to go back because there is sea. Are you following what I'm saying? That's how God helps us. That chair is not good. Please come and give her this one. Please come and carry this one for her. Come and take this one. Take this one for her. Amen. I said amen.
Amen.
Know your triggers and avoid it. You know that the way your body is doing you recently, and you are still listening to cassava fall on you. You are not helping it. No, say after me, say, know your triggers and avoid them. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Amen. This is very important. Then the last one. Realize that your exercise over temptation, your exercise over temptation is a testimony of the resurrection power. See, let me tell you, every time that you overcome temptation, what you have just done is you have testified that the resurrection power is above sin and all its doldrums, is above sin and all its attractions, is above sin and sinful habits. Look at Romans 6. Romans 6 says, what should I say then? Should I go on sinning so that grace may increase? Of course not. How can we who died as far as sin is concerned go on living in it? Do you not know that all of us who were baptized in union with the Messiah Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, through baptism, that is by our identification with him in his death, we were buried with him into his death. So that just as the Messiah was raised from the dead by the Father's glory, we too may live an entirely new life. So we walk in the newness of life. We were dead to sin. And the devil is going to play with your mind anytime the addiction comes knocking. In context now, sex. Let no one lie to you. Are you listening to me? You can stay without sex. Ladies, don't let any man lie to you that, you know, I don't know, doctor says that I have to have sex to remove this thing that is disturbing me. It's a lie. Let no one lie to you. You can do without sex. Yes, sir. Till the right time. Yes, sir. You know, and the word is, you know, I was trying to talk to a lady last year. This girl, she's a teenager. And I was telling her last year, how that, you know, I'm still a chaste and all that. And the way she responded, she made me shy. I'm like, thank God I know God's word. If not, I almost got into peer pressure for a teenager. Did you get the talk? As in a teenager, she made me shy. So, to something that I know is the truth is good. She was like, I'm like, yeah, what's the big deal? I'm like, hey, look at you. Hey, you mean? I say, yeah, I mean, the Bible says, she said, I mean, a time came out to say, it's okay. Last year, I'm almost double her age. Let's close with this scripture, Romans 8, quickly. We have read it before, we're going to read it again. Hallelujah. I want to say something to you here. If you are addicted to pornography, wherever it is, I want you to know Christ died for sin and sinful habits. You can exercise victory over it. Do you know the funniest thing? Even scientifically, pornography is not good for your sexual life. You know, last night when I was preparing for this program, for this meeting, I was reading some of the negative effects of, you know, pornography. And one of them includes that when you get married, it builds your system in such a way that you will come quickly into your wife. And let me tell you, one of the major problems to marriage is coming quickly. when the woman is not satisfied, because their own, we'll talk about this some other time, they take like 20 minutes to be satisfied. You, 5 minutes, you are gone. 2 minutes, you are gone. It's one of the major precursors. Listen to me, this is serious. So even medical science does not support you viewing pornography. And even on the adverse effect of it is that you now become so vast in sex because you've seen, and those ones you are seeing on TV, they have used several drugs. Some of them are on steroids. All right? It can even affect your own self-image about sex, because when you finish viewing it, you now go and look your own thumbs in the toilet and you feel like, ah, my own is small. And by the time you're going to have the first sex and you can't do like what you've built your intellect to assume, you feel ashamed. Are you listening to me? These are even medical standpoints, not even biblical standpoints. You don't need it. With somebody not practicalized, like someone not practicalized before he married, you don't know. Person no. Listen, no, this is a serious issue. I've had people who talk to me that way. And listen, that's why it's not a talk to teach, it's not a talk on pulpit. When you want to marry, we know. Because, and this is also a serious issue. We've seen people who get married to a Christian brother only to find out that the brother was actually impotent. So there are extreme cases, but we know how to go. There is wisdom, but not to go and be practicalizing. There are wisdom to it. There's a way you can know if your fiance, if his penis is functioning, you will know. There's a way you would know why you are courting. There's a way. But that's not for today. So don't use that as an excuse to not go and be, you know, saying let's watch porn together. It's not good for you. And if you are not married, I beg in the name of God, don't feed your soul with what you're not ready for. You are seeing all this music, all this, oh yeah, bakuru papa, la 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 la, oh yeah, down below, oh yeah, you are seeing, they are showing the video, the guy just the movie said, patarata, bakuru tata, and let me tell you a story. When I was still living in Kefi before I moved to Abuja, I've told you the story before, right? I went to Agwanlambu. That was the last day I went to the barber shop in Agwanlambu. I was there. The guy was playing one song. I cannot forget that song up to date. Something tan 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 ba ba kuru ba kuru ba ba kuru ba. And normally when I go out that way, the first thing I do when I get into the room is I lift up my hands and just pray in tongues. So for 5 hours, was cutting my hair. Ah, pastor, how this thing now? We're just gisting, and he was playing the song on the tone. So immediately I finished, you know, I boarded the bike, got to my room. As I opened my door, lift up my hands, guess what I said first? You guessed right. You guessed right. What does that tell you? That means, listen, your mind is at the mercy of what you hear. So what you say is a product of what is in your mind. So there are some things, do you know, like I told you last week, okay, it was on Bible study I was sharing with you, right? Those of you in Bible study, I shared with you, I said up till date, I have been able to delete some, but some are still there. Tupac's lyrics. Last 2 weeks, my colleague in the office, she's playing classic FM. So they now slotted in Dear Mama. I have rapped more than half before she said, Pastor. I said, ha ha, hey, Shalabraha, so troko frahat. I was already, hey, no woman in life that could take my mama's place, suspend them from school, was scared to go home, I was a fool. I mean, you can see, it's still there. See, it's still there. I was already, because when I was younger, I had all this shit, all lies on me, skin. Dear Mama, baby, don't cry. And Snoop Dogg. I was so. I couldn't. Many of them have gone off now. At least 70% have gone. But I tell you, prevention is better than cure. Yes, sir. So, what do you do in your room? Listen, do you know you can practice the presence of God? In your car, is there. You are working on computer, a song is going on that tone. You're working on your computer, a song is going on that tone. You can't be hearing Sinach and then your cassava will come up. It's not possible. It's not possible. You can't be hearing, I'm walking in power, and then you now start feeling honey. It's not possible. But if you are hearing original trauma, do extra. If you are hearing things like that, there's no how. You will not arouse what you are not prepared for. Don't arouse what you are not prepared for. And listen, what this thing does is it makes you become vulnerable. It will get to a point where you just feel like it will drop your standard. You just feel like any babe will come. You just want to fire. Do you know why? Because you have prepared your body unconsciously. Imagine you wake up in the morning and you sing in the spirit. And then Ada is playing under there. Cheta, Cheta, I am God, I never fail. Cheta. And then you are dressing up. In the morning, you want to go and fetch water in the well. You're like, Sister Gloria, good morning. You are fetching it, you are going to your bedroom, and then you are singing. What is called? And then you are practicing his presence. Are you hearing me? You come back, you know, you are rubbing your this thing, you are saying, Holy Ghost, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. And then you wear your dress. You are saying you are carrying your book. You are going to class. Your ears are plugged in. You are listening to Chris Delvan. How can you walk when you don't know the way of us? I mean, you are listening. You are going, and then bam, there's no lecture. You listen to one of our message. You are listening to a message I preached. You are listening to God's word, audio Bible on your phone. Like one of our ministers was telling me on Tuesday, I should keep an audio Bible. You know, you wake up in the morning, you turn it on, boom, listen. Take advantage of technology. You can slot it on, boom, in the morning. Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be God. If you don't have time to read, audio Bible is there. You are in the bedroom. That's what I used to say. It's one of my dreams, you know, with my wife and my family that I'm going to start. All the house I will build, all our bedroom, restroom, kitchen, they will have what we call inbuilt speaker. Inbuilt speaker. Our garden speakers. So in the bedroom, if I play Kenneth Copeland, I fear not, I believe only. And now if you're in the bedroom, you are hearing it. You are in the toilet, you are hearing it. All I slotting. Shouting it, somebody, Pastor Chris, you are hearing it everywhere. Oh, I play my father's message, Pastor Shegun Obaje. You are hearing it everywhere. So, help take advantage of technology. Very important. Very important. Make it, you can practice his presence. This is the way, listen to me. If you do this consistently, there is a renewal you feel on the spirit on the inside. There's a renewal. And the more there is this renewal, you'll have a distaste for things that are not of God. You'll have a distaste for it. You have a distaste for it. Your threshold for sexual content will drop. It will drop. And as many of you have created your own dream unbeknown to you. You know, Ecclesiastes 5:3 says, a dream comes by much of business. When you have been seeing series 1, series 2, series 4, up to series whatever of Spartacus, Game of Thrones, you are now wondering why you are having wet dreams. Pastor, I don't know why. You know, it's like and prophets who are there to take your money will tell you the spirit was banned. They'll tell you have spirit husband. Say, go and buy goats. You see, if you think knowledge is expensive, ignorance is more expensive. If you can't spend money you have smartphone, get messages, they will give you free. Brother Solomon will give you free. Listen to it. Go online. Use your data. Download songs. Ada is there. Bucci is there. Samsung is there. Sinach is there. Martin Pique is there. I can do anything. Don Juan is there. These things are there. I am there. Can I be amen? Sapphire is there. Glory to God. Download them. Listen to them. Spend money on your spiritual life. There are some people right here, they have never bought one book in the last 5 years. You can use 2K to buy shawarma, but you can't buy a simple book that will better your life. What is wrong with you? You are single yet. Don't prepare your body for what you are not ready for. It's just like doing a foreplay when there is no show. It will arouse your body unnecessarily. Amen. Let's do this scripture, then we close. Romans 8, right? And verse 12. He says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors. I need another translation that is very simple. Maybe somebody has NLT. Please help me with it. Hallelujah. Romans 8. NLT. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want somebody just... Someone I don't know. Okay, brother, please come. Yeah, please come. The brother on time, come. Please help me turn off the mics. Please, I want you to read verse 12 to 13.
Romans 8, verse 12.
I want you to listen carefully.
So, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation whatsoever to do what your sinful nature urges you to do.
Did you hear that?
Verse 13 says, for if you keep on following it, you will perish. But if through the power of the Holy Spirit you turn from it and its evil deeds, you will live.
Now, look at now. It now says in verse 14. It now says in verse 14. Uh-huh.
For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God.
In other words, the proof that you are a son of God is that you will not be led by your feeling. You will be led by the Spirit. And you will mortify the deeds of the flesh. Mortify their word to kill, to deaden. Thank you, sir. Let's clap for him. Thank you, sir. Were you blessed?
Yes, sir.
Were you blessed?
Yes, sir.
Are you sure?
Yes, sir.
I want to pray for some set of people today.
We know that you've been blessed. For further inquiry, counseling, prayer, and partnership, please call +234 8074 07 8566. We celebrate you.